This is Eddie Inzotto, your editor-in-chief here at GamerNode.com. I'm at New York Comic Con with Dax from the Rocksteady marketing team for Batman Arkham City. How you doing, Dax?
I'm doing good, man. My voice is going, but I'm doing good.
Great. You have a lot of energy today. and we're here to talk about Batman Arkham City. I just wanted you to give, like, at first the general overview of the game, like, describe it for everyone listening.
Sure thing. Batman Arkham City, the follow-up to Batman Arkham Asylum, takes the action out of the asylum and onto the streets of Gotham. In this second game, we wanted to really blow the roof off, give players a sense of exploration and freedom they never had in the first game, because Arkham City itself is 5 times bigger than Arkham Island, and it's completely open right from the beginning. You can go anywhere you want, taking down a load of super criminals with style and brutality.
Okay, so you sort of cut down two of my questions right off the bat. So you're talking about an open world now. It's completely open, 100%. There's no limitation to anywhere Batman can go.
The only limitations are on the internal environment. So right from the beginning of the game, anything that's open to the sky, you can see it all right from the beginning. But then internal locations will unlock as the story progresses.
Okay. So those are all linked to the narrative then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So the first Batman game from Rocksteady was a great mix of different methods of gameplay. Now, the combat was something that people really enjoyed playing because it gave you a lot of freedom to get in there and fight a lot of enemies. What has been done with the combat system in the second game that will, you know, keep gamers really excited and wanting more?
The combat system is really interesting because I think what we did in the first game was really strong. You know, I think our first outing with the free flow combat system was an amazing starting point. But we wanted to evolve every aspect of the design and add a whole new load of features. So when it came to thinking about combat, the first thing we did was just double the number of moves that we've developed for Batman. So right off the bat, you can pull off some incredible takedowns. You can really kind of get into that deep, seamless combat and feel just as powerful as you did in the first game. So how we've taken it further is to really, really think about what enemies can do to you. So they can now coordinate their attacks. We've got double and triple simultaneous attacks. So you've got to perform simultaneous counters against groups of guys. They can also pick up weapons and come at you with anything that they find in the street. So the way in which Batman takes on the thugs and the kind of gangs that are in this simmering turf or within Arkham City is, it's just as powerful, but it's much more dynamic than it was in Arkham Asylum.
And this time around, we could play as Catwoman.
I know!
Which you showed me a little bit earlier. Uh-huh. So you said it switches back and forth as you play through the game. You get control of the two characters. About what percentage of the time were we looking at with the two?
Catwoman accounts for about 10% of the game. So it's still a Batman game front and center. You know, that's, we kind of think of Catwoman as like a special guest. You know, she's more than a cameo, but she's not the main star. Batman's a main star.
Right.
But you start the game, like you saw, playing as Catwoman. And then as the game develops, you switch control between Batman and Catwoman based on narrative developments.
Right. And coming back to the combat, we saw that Catwoman operates a lot more differently than Batman does. So
you've
worked on moves for her as well, specifically.
Totally. She's got her own combat system. The way that she moves is unique to her. She's got her own gadgets as well. For both Catwoman and Batman, we've integrated gadgets into combat. So you can use your Batclaw or your explosive gel or the Wreck, which is a new gadget for Batman, without dropping your combo chain. For Catwoman, you can throw quick bowlers. You can use Caltrop. She's got a whip. All of that gadgetry kind of becomes an extension of the moves that you can pull off within combat.
Oh, that's excellent. I was actually just going to ask you, you know, Batman's all about his toys.
Yeah, totally.
So how has that been expanded besides in the combat? Are we going to see a great deal more out of the gadgetry?
You start the game with 5 gadgets, and they're the 5 core gadgets that you already earned in Arkham Asylum. So, you know, the sense of continuity and the kind of dovetailing of the two stories and the two gameplay experiences is something we really wanted to focus on and nail. And I think we've done that really well. But the functionality of those gadgets is different because the challenges that you face in Arkham City are different to the challenges that you faced in Arkham Asylum. So Batman knows before he goes into Arkham City, he's going to have to redesign those key gadgets so that they do different things. So that's how you deploy your experience and upgrade the functionality of your gadgets based on the upgrade system that we have in there. We've also added new gadgets as well. So when you finish Arkham City, you'll have 12 gadgets all up. We've got new ones such as the smoke pellet in there. We've got the Wreck, which is the remote electrical charge. It's kind of like a projectile taser you can use to electrocute enemies and also power up machinery. You're right. Batman's utility belt, those toys that he's got, is such a critical part of who he is. We couldn't go light on that. In fact, we went full fat.
Nice, nice. So you just mentioned Batman having to approach the city a little differently. Uh-huh. Then he would approach, you know, a specific Arkham Asylum. So
yeah, yeah.
Are we going to see a lot of diversity in locations and diversity in missions throughout the city? Will areas be drastically different from one another in different parts of the city?
We approach that thinking about the supervillains that were in there because, you know, it's not just Batman versus a load of criminals. The supervillains are fighting amongst themselves as well. So, you know, Joker's got his turf, Penguin's got his turf, Two-Face's got his turf, Hugo Strange, as the Warden of Arkham City, runs the whole show, but he's under assault as well. So as you move from Joker territory into Penguin territory, you'll sort of cross this transitional phase where it's less like a crazy morbid circus, and it starts turning into that sort of aristocratic kind of weirdness that Penguin's all about. And then you go into Two-Face territory and everything's got sort of duality and symmetry. So, yeah, the visual diversity is there to really reflect who's in control of these areas at that point. And it's the same with the thugs that are loyal to these super criminals. So all of the thugs that are part of Joker's gang, they all wear clown masks and they've got, you know, circus and festival style look about them. Whereas Penguin's guys, they've got like these spray painted stencils of penguins all over them. But allegiances will change as well. So a thug who starts as a Penguin thug might end up as a Joker thug. And so their outfits sort of become a fusion of those two looks. It's really cool, I think.
Very cool. So Joker, Penguin,
Two-Face, and Hugo Strange are the sort of four factions within the game. Okay.
And will we see a lot of other familiar faces throughout?
Well, Batman, every Batman experience is kind of not just about him, it's about the Rogues Gallery as well.
Right.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about the supervillains that are in there, and there are a lot. So what we've got? We've got Hugo Strange, Penguin, Two-Face, Joker, Harley Quinn, Zsasz, Calendar Man, Riddler, Catwoman, playable character, Talia al Ghul is in there, we've got Solomon Grundy. You know, it's insane. Every corner you turn within Arkham City, you'll run into someone who wants you dead. And that's how we kind of reintroduce the sense of threat and atmosphere into an open world game, because in Arkham Asylum it was so closed and claustrophobic that we didn't have to do very much but just put Joker in there, and all of a sudden there's this pressure cooker situation. As soon as you blow the roof off and you go into an open world game, all of that just evaporates. So we wanted that same intense threatening atmosphere but to still offer a sense of freedom that players have never had before, and the way we've achieved that is just by loading up Arkham City with every supervillain that we could think of.
Nice. That's awesome. So Robin and Nightwing have been revealed to be in the Challenge Mission DLC.
Yeah.
Are they going to be involved in the single-player campaign as well?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, they're just in the challenge maps.
Okay.
So you play as Catwoman and Batman in the main story, and then when you go into the challenge maps, you can play as Catwoman, Batman, Robin, or Nightwing in any of the challenge maps.
Okay.
But yeah, Robin and Nightwing, they just exist within the combat and the stealth challenge mode.
Okay. Okay, so in the first game, there was a lot of side stuff available.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, we have the challenge missions back. Has that been expanded? Are there more, like we had the riddles before,
yeah,
and the audio logs?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a lot more of that sort of thing going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, we kind of went to town on that sort of stuff, sort of stupidly, because it's so much work. But once we embarked on it, we knew we had to follow it through. And we sort of set the bar really high with Arkham Asylum with that, you know, non-essential side mission stuff. There was like 100 Riddler trophies in the first game. There's 440 of them in this game. So that sort of gives you an example of, we haven't just kind of added a little bit, we've just gone mental and added like a poop ton more stuff. So all of the side missions, you don't have to do any of them to finish the main story. But what we didn't want to do is create kind of collection missions that felt frivolous or flippant. Everything that's in the game is designed to make you feel like Batman.
Right.
So there's no way you're going to stumble upon someone in the street who is a no-name character that we just made up. He says, hey, Batman, can you go and collect 50 flowers for me? Like, that just sounds rubbish, right? I mean, Batman would never, ever do that.
Right.
So we didn't put that in. You know, there's nothing like that in the game. Everyone that you run into is someone like, you know, Jack Ryder or Vicky Vale, or, you know, these characters that you know from Batman lore. And if you're a hardcore Batman fan, you're going to know the kind of deep secrets of those people. Characters like Bane or like Zsasz or Calendar Man, you know, they're not that top tier Mr. Freeze, Riddler, Two-Face, Penguin kind of level of character, but they're still really significant for Batman fans. So there's a mission where you team up with Bane, you get co-op with him. There's a mission where you've got to track down Zaz by answering telephones all around Arkham City. You know, he's a serial killer in there, so he's taking people down. You've got to try and, you know, track him down and solve that crime. Deadshot's in there as well. The world's greatest assassin versus the world's greatest detective. You know, these are the kind of epic challenges that the side missions, you know, occupy. But they're just side missions. You don't have to do any of them. But if you do, you're going to see the amount of work you put into them.
Right. So those sound very interesting and like real gameplay as opposed to just, like you said, frivolous stuff.
Well, that's why the game is like 40 hours long and then challenge maps on top of that. So it's a monster epic game.
So, what about just if you were to avoid all the side stuff and just go straight through the story, how long would the game be then?
It's hard to say because everyone's kind of different.
Yeah.
But the times that we are getting watching other people play who, you know, obviously we kind of know what's happening, so, you know, we can take a real racing line through it. But to take down all of the villains in Arkham City, all of the supervillains, it's about 25 hours gameplay, which is still chunky, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So how long am I going to take to 100% this game?
I reckon you look like a 42-hour guy to me.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one last thing. You've obviously, you're here in the DC booth.
Yep.
So you've been working, you know, in cooperation with DC.
Yeah,
how has that been?
Great.
Great.
You know,
yeah.
These guys know it all. Oh, yeah, totally. And you see for yourself the amount of creative freedom that we have. I mean, smashing a bottle into Penguin's face and him leaving it in there, and that's sort of our Arkham monocle.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we've been able to interpret and reinterpret these classic characters in a really twisted and screwed up way really shows the level of trust that exists between DC Comics and Rocksteady. You know, they know that we're just as much fans as they are, and we want to contribute and add our kind of version of Batman's universe, but we're not here to break the rules. We're not here to try and change who Batman is, because Batman's freaking awesome on his own. We want to work within those really kind of familiar principles that make Batman who he is, but try and create gameplay and atmosphere and a kind of psychology to the experience that hasn't been done before. So I think that's why we feel like we're in this real sweet spot at the moment, because everything's just coming up trumps, you know? It's great.
Yeah. So I know you're entrenched in Batman and you're at the sweet spot, as you just said, but is there any chance we'll see a Rocksteady game using another DC property in the future?
In the future, anything. Good. I honestly don't know, man. You know, our head right now, you're absolutely right, is Batman. With the game coming out in, 3 days, this has been something we've been looking forward to. And honestly, beyond that, it's almost like life doesn't exist beyond that point, because we've just been obsessing about October 18th for so long. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back to the studio kind of middle of November and then think about what happens next. I honestly can't answer that question because I don't know.
Right. Well, awesome. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Arkham City coming out on Tuesday, the 18th. Definitely get it. It's going to be a great time.
Sweet.
Thanks a lot, man.